When you see a preacher like this preach and they say you should take over, then you go, shame gonna catch you. Because you're afraid that you're going to kill the spirit. Because he was flying too high. Then I will now come. They talk my own chuko, they kill the thing, they kill. So I wish he will continue until we close so that when we come back, at least the fire don't go down. Maybe me quench up. But we thank God. You see, all of you here, fire. Now, because you never heard of microphone, no. I was saying when we're introducing ourselves, you see some are battling with microphone. We don't even hear them. So immediately call the microphone, everyone will scatter the speaker self. I said, then they hear. If you are blessed, clap your hands for our Lord. Amen. You see, this is there will be a lot, every session now, preach and pray. Preach and pray. Any preach you want to preach, now to you are preaching towards the prayer points we are going to take. To also be a prayer meeting. We will pray for ourselves, pray for our family, pray for our individual ministries, pray for our churches, and pray for one another here. That will be part of it. For now, you know, you can see that we are chased with time because it's really short. We're talking about ministerial ethics. Allow me to add something to it. The theme scripture is how you ought to comport yourself. Apostle Paul was telling Timothy as a minister. You see, a brother here, a wing commander, Waziri, as a military, in the military, there is something, an attribute we call officer-like quality. An officer has quality. We call it officer-like quality. And for displaying character that is not officer-like, you can be charged for it. When you commit an offense, the officer that is going to try you, the list we have the Air Force Act, using Air Force, for instance. Now, they will charge you the offense that you committed to make sure that even if you escape, you prove the first one, they charge, you prove the second one. There's one that you can't escape so that you must be found guilty. That one, if, so they, all officers know the section. Eh? They call it section 73. Eh?
It's true, sir.
It's conduct prejudice to military discipline. Conduct prejudice to military discipline. To start with, why were you charged at all? That you are charged at all is because of a conduct. As in those days, for instance, an officer must not be seen inside Molue bus, correct? It is an officer like to eat, I mean, to enter public bus. You are supposed to charter taxi. Not to struggle for inside bus, the struggle with the officer. If another, if your senior officer sees you, it's an offense. Or to be eaten on the road, for the road then. Eh? Or to go to Mami Market to sit down and be drinking with other ranks. There was also another thing we used to do. If you enter a taxi, you take any public vehicle, and your junior is inside the motor, you are to pay for him. You will pay for him. So if you don't have money, just look for the one way. When you enter, he say, good morning, sir. He will look you like this. How are you? He may change his mind and come down. Depending on how many of you are there. Amen. Because there are a lot of premium is attached to the integrity of that office. That rank you wear as an officer. I remember a scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Do you know that there are pastors that fight? Physically, they fight. You talk to him, he slap you. That is against ministerial ethics. You should not fight. You are supposed to be gentle. When they want to know you are on fire is when they see you at the pulpit. Outside the pulpit, you are gentle. You are humble. What did he say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Honor. It's not pride. It's honor. Possess it with honor. Possess it with honor. Praise the Lord. Listen very well. That what commands respect, followership. I told you yesterday, I said, when you are going to lead a group of people that willingly came and submit themselves to what I call to your lordship, and they can on their own again live, to continually keep them, you need a lot of integrity. You need a lot of integrity. Somebody once told me, he said, the reason he decided to make Brother Assembly his church is that the first day he came, he said he found out that majority of the members were Igbo people. And that the pastor was from the north, as they call us, Hausa. He said, and these Igbo people are here. He said, something they hear. He said, I know my people. Amen. You want to stay and pastor an Igbo man, and you want him to bring cover. He's going to look at, you know, he say, I don't get sense. This one want use me make money. Amen. Trust is not commanded. Trust is earned. And when you are able to earn trust, then you will have a people that will be ready to die for you. Anything you tell them to do, they will do it. I remember Cosmos Waduka told me, something brought about it, and he was telling me, he said, Brother Moses, he said, there's something I want you to know. He said, I have gone out, I have met people who are your followers. He said, there are many of them that believe you so much that if you tell them to go and commit suicide, he said, they will do it. He said, therefore, be careful how you use this confidence that they have on you. I was trying to say, he said, I know what I'm talking about. He said, I have met some of them. You don't mention anything about Pastor Alu, he said, they are ready to fight. But you earn it. I have my former pastor. And one of the brothers who was also a minister in the church. We were in a meeting like this. And then this brother stood up to tell the pastor, when we were many there. He said, Pastor, something led about it, and he now made a statement. He said, I've decided that if I have anything that needs to be kept in confidence, I will not tell you. And the pastor said, huh? What are you saying? He said, yes, how do I know? It's because of what you tell me about what people come to tell you. So, people will come for counseling. Then after counseling, as they go, see this one, where they go? Now, the reason why you come with this. Or the day it vexes you, you disagree, that is the day you now have the secret you know concerning him, you will now be talking about it. When you are saying it, somebody else is listening to you, say, hey, that means if I tell him my own, the day we vex, it's the same thing he will do to me. He felt bad. Listen, when you see your church members, I have had church member of some church, a church that called me, and I was saying, he said, that man can lie. Now their pastor be that too. That was the language. He can lie. Once he said, I said, this man is finished. That the testimony of a pastor is that you are a liar. You are finished. They will never believe it. They will never trust you again. Integrity. The people that are working with you, amen. See, if you want to know my true self, who I am, the people that know my secret are my driver and my security that works with me. I hope you know that. You see, they're doing like mumu mumu, and they hear me and I see them up there. Then they do like mumu mumu. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They are noting everything you are doing. They are noting everything you are doing. Including all the driving, I see the answer phone call. Here, where they drive, what they listen, what you they talk. You go to that, say, no, here. See, then they don't hear me. Everything you are doing, they are noting. You say you have your PA, you have your secretary. They are watching everything you are doing in that office. When somebody brings money and says, this money is for the church, he passes your secretary. Or he didn't even pass, the secretary may not see. You think the secretary didn't see it. Before he entered the office, he told him, I want to send some money to the church. I am bringing money to. See, they know that they brought offering for a church. They gave you. If you carry and they go house, they know, say, you don't carry and draw for church. They carry and go house. The offering, when they bring corn, when you say pack and put for inside motor, including the person where they load them for inside motor, they grumble. Everything where they bring, so they carry, they go in house. So they carry, even one, nothing give us, even one. How will you ever have that is why your church members, when they have problems, they're not coming to you for prayer. They are running to go to Ojo to look for another pastor, Chris, then make him pray for me. Because they have no confidence in you. Just for one reason or the other, they are still in the church there. Keep your word. If you promise to do anything, keep your word. If you say anything, keep your word. So that even if I forget, you forget, they will know you forgot. Because if you promise anything, if you say anything, and you don't keep it, they are noting it. Let me tell you, Pastor, listen, amen. All the members are watching to see that you are a doer also of the word that you preach. And once they notice, now talking, they talk another thing. In fact, when you are preaching something, they will sleep. I bet we start this one, go finish. I'm going to do the go. Praise God. I told you earlier that don't stop disturbing your members with your personal problems. Stop going with your personal problems. You know. Call Brother Chris. Say, I'm traveling to the village. Anything for me? Hey, Brother Chris, my pikin is doing birthday. Come and sow now. Opportunity has come. Hey, I'm celebrating my birthday next tomorrow. I never see you in a handle. My time is up. Praise the Lord. Amen. I heard the bell. He said, don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing?
Tis a glory, hallelujah.
Wait. Ministerial integrity. A lot of things you do that rubbish your integrity before members. Be careful. When he said watch and pray, watch your character also. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Watch your character also. Let your identity include humility. Like I said, Christ gave an example in Luke chapter 14 from verse 7. That exhortation for the ambitious guest. I put forth a parable to those which we are beating. When He marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden to of any man to a wedding, that is any ceremony, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee, and him and he that bade thee, and he come and said to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have what? Worship, respect in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. And verse 11, for whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. See, pride. I think that place is self-explanatory. You just see, I sit. And then you come because you are a pastor. Then you go and sit down there. You don't know who they reserve it for. When the owner comes, they will say, excuse me, please. This is reserved. Can you stand up? Then you stand up and the person will sit down there. Won't you be ashamed? All it is teaching is humility, nothing more. Allow yourself to be invited to the high table. Nothing more. I want to add this to a comment because of what Brother Chris spoke. See, there are certain actions you take that you expect a reaction. The way I go about my ministry, I expect that I will have criticism. And because I am expecting it, I am not surprised when I hear it. The decision I have taken in the way I want to serve my God is dictated by several factors. Number one, it is dictated by the fact that I am not looking for recognition from men. Therefore, whether you recognize what I'm doing or not matters not to me. I am looking for recognition from him over there. He who called me. Number two, I am not looking for associates. I'm not looking for friends. Some of you know my background. My background is military, and it's still my constituency. Too many friends there. If it is friendship, I'm looking for. Too many. Therefore, I am looking for believers, children of God, to associate with. And that is why when I find anybody trying to come close to me, amen. The first thing is that then you come and you don't believe what I believe. The question I will ask is, what is the reason for the association? Now, I'm not like a woman that say, knock, knock to me. Knock, knock, knock. No. I know how to disentangle myself. Before you know what, I am free. And yet we remain friends. Don't fight anybody because he disagrees with you. But there is a limit to which you go with anybody. But remain friends. When my brother said certain people he expected, he was mentioning names of some inter-message pastors. For your information, I never picked a call to call anybody to say, I am having ministers' conference, will you come? Any of the people? Never, I didn't. That's why I put Olumide's phone number, not my phone number. It was to coordinate it. I had a reason for it. There are people that if I call them, that I hope you will come, oh, I may come, oh, then they will broadcast. He was begging me to go. Me, go to that, to do that nonsense. Don't go. I begin to feel important. So, I've explained to you, one of those that you said you expected to see him here. I said, he called me. I said, ah, he heard that I am having ministers' conference. He said, ah, I did that. I didn't tell him now. I said, it's because you are not needed. I said, why? I said, no, it is my converts. I'm just calling them to reestablish them. That's all. So you come and say, I'm the one that invited you. Another one told me, say, I have that conference. I'll be coming. Olumide, you saw the discussion I had with him. And I say, no, there'll be no need to come now. I say, it's people who will agree together in the faith. He said, oh, it's only people that agree with you that come. I say, yes, and now two cannot work together. He said, if we agree, you will come here, chop my rice, chop my meat, chop my this and the chop. Praise the Lord. The associate pastor from Oweri, are you here? Oh, you are the one? You sent us a text that you expect us to call your pastor to invite him for this.
Yes, sir. I sent a text.
Yes, he brought it and we read it and we laughed in my office.
I'm trying to make the inquiry if there was any special call.
Well, I said we saw the text. Olumide and I, we laughed. And what was his reply to you?
He said there's nothing like that. The publication is...
He said the advert is on the TV.
Yes,
so, why will you want us to call him again when the advert is there? So, we didn't call him. Amen.
Amen.
And maybe he didn't come because we didn't call him. It was deliberate. And this is one of the things we talk about. Now, your pastor was a minister here. I ordained him. I sent him to Oweri. I hired the place he lives. I hired the place he worships. I paid for it. And I was giving him allowance for 2 or 3 years. I should call him to come for minister's meeting. It is because, amen, after he left, he's on his own. And we were not doing it so that he will become my servant, my boy. No, I was helping him in his ministry.
That's right.
And up to now, and I intend to call him that he should change Bride Assembly name he's using. So that his independence will be full. In fact, as you go and tell him that he should stop using the name Bride Assembly Oweri. That it is not honorable to do that.
All right.
People should have self-honor. Sure. You disagree with this guy and you are still using his name to get members. If he doesn't have money for registration, I will send him the money. Let him ask a lawyer how much it costs to do his own registration. I'll send him the money so that we can be free. Praise the Lord. Now he has his reason. Certainly he has his reason. Neither did he call me. You know, you can't try that in a denomination. Can't try that now. Can't try that. There are a lot of things to observe among some of them. We'll just be looking, we'll just be smiling. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so when we talk about ministerial integrity, I still want to you know, add more to these things that some of, I mean, one thing that my brother spoke about, you know, concerning this finance thing. It is true. You are the head of the church. And whatever you do with the church finance, it is expected that you'll be doing it for the progress of the ministry. But when you are seen taking the money of the church by others, they see you using it for your personal self, you are killing your ministry. They will lose confidence in you. That's the truth. Integrity matters so much for the anointing, the ministry you have to have value. It is important. Any new person that comes to you is like a chicken that goes to a new place. It doesn't stand with the two legs. It stands with one leg first. It look, look, look. When it's safe, then you put the second leg down. What are they watching? These days, the general opinion is that people set up churches to make money. People are fed up with these churches. They are looking for a sincere place to be. So anywhere they go, it is that honesty, sincerity that they are watching out for before they relax there and say, yes, I'll make here my church. So it's important that you look at it that way. Now, finally, there is also the appearance of a minister. Your dressing. Let me be very sincere with you. There are sometimes when we have visiting pastors that come, we begin to find it difficult to introduce them. Because during services, our services are broadcast live and the whole world are watching us. And we are always anxious to introduce you. Because we know there will be, you are going to mention your location. And somebody that may be looking for a church in that location may be watching. So we tell you, give him microphone. I am Pastor Osas from Bride Assembly, Jos. Hey, always after service, they will call. So we want the phone number of that pastor from Jos. We are from Jos. Don't you see that you just see phone call, they come. You receive phone call. Almost every week, new people are coming.
Yes, sir.
See? And if somebody call me on phone, especially this our program, live program, ask your pastor. Ask the pastor. And immediately you say you are from Onitsha. And I will ask you, which church do you attend? I am online. I will say, we have a church tonight, Onitsha. I'm not talking to only him. I know there are many other people watching from Onitsha now. Then you hear me say, this is the phone number. Call this number for your water baptism. We always use water baptism. From there, you will catch the person. And then, it's not only the person. It is. So, then you stand up at the altar. And then you are dressing like the sanitation department member. Haba. I mean, it's common sense. Now, you're going to a public place. You're going to worship in a church. There is a dress you will dress that from the gate, the person ushering you will say, good morning, sir. Well, the time you say, I have an appointment with the pastor, the pastor's guest. Follow me, sir. They will take you there. But that's the way you come, is the way you dress. Even people who dress like that, they don't even know how to talk. Jaga, jaga. I mean, where pastor office is there? For here. The person will look you, do his thing. Dress well so that we'll be happy. There was a time that a minister came. And when I came, Rosh Olumide. He said, sir, this is the name of visiting minister. They are sitting at the altar. He said, but this one, sir, you know, dress well. And we cannot introduce this one without introducing him. So advise, sir, don't introduce them. After service, we'll see them, we'll greet them. And I quickly turned to look at the person. He was using palm sandals with one kind thing. And then he was sitting down. I think that cloth he wear in a singlet. And you are sitting in front of the whole church. I didn't dress well. It's so important that our pastors here, any minister that doesn't dress well, Uche, eh? What will they do? We'll drive him away.
Straight ahead now.
You don't dress well, you come to the church.
Don't disgrace the minister.
So can't stop, don't disgrace us. Come, go get out. We'll drive him away. Praise the Lord. So learn to dress well. Learn to dress well so that we can even be happy to snap with you. It's part of the ministerial ethics. Ministers, please use perfume. Some people, they smell. Clean your body. Use some of the money when they dash you. Buy perfume. Buy antiperspirant, deodorant. So that when you sweat, the next person, you don't notice that some people, they change it. Some people, they change it. Because you are smelly. Minister, iron your cloth. Dress very well. And there are some cloth that need starch. Starch it. And dress well. When we are enforcing dress code in the church, I used to tell my ministers, I said, this is the reason I'm forcing you people to dress. Until there was a time I had to order for suit for all of them. Three-piece suit, all, everywhere. Plus, I said, you must dress like that. Then I told her, I said, I am packaging you people. Because if somebody come to you from the way he want to dress, if he was going to give you 1,000 before, he will change and give you 10,000. From the way you appear. I said, I'm doing it for you. I said, listen, if I come to the pulpit with sandals, fly my shirt, and dress anyhow I come, they will say it's simplicity and humility. That's what they will say. Anybody that see me, they will love me, say, this man's simple. Ah. But if you, minister, you dress like that, they will say, ah, this man poor. That's what I told them. I said, they will think you are poor. Whereas my own, they will say he's simple. So I can dress anyhow and come. Amen. Because already they know I'm the overseer of the church. But you, your own, they will say, ah, not struggling man with this. Money, even money, no, see the way he dress. So therefore, package yourself, Oscar. Package yourself, though your own. I know you. I'm not talking about prophets. I mean, the prophets are. I'm talking about Uche. Uh-huh. You know. No, we know it's difficult to get your size of suit in the market, but it's available if you look very well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you have your wife in the ministry and your children, they are example for others. the way they behave, and the way they comport themselves. If not, somebody, why are you checking my dress? You don't see the dress where your wife will wear. So from the house, you'll be praying that your wife will not spoil your shoe. When the dress is finished, say, check her. If it's not okay, tell her to change it. And make her dress well. Let her dress well. So that you can proudly tell her, this is my wife. And then when she come out, oh, they say, oh, madam. The person won't dash you now. What they had in mind was to give you 2,000 naira before. He will change it and give you 20,000 naira. Praise the Lord. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? The deacon sent a message that the dinner will not be ready till 7 p.m. That means you will not close now and eat immediately. May just wait a little bit. But until then, I still have 15 minutes to 6 because I'm supposed to close 6 o'clock. About 18 minutes to 6. So maybe I can still say one or two things if there are still questions. You want to ask? Yes. Okay.
Shalom, pastors.
Shalom, sir.
Yes, I'm Michael by name. I have a question on yesterday's teaching. You thought about...
Michael, which church?
Bride Assembly, Enugu.
Enugu?
Yes.
Okay.
You thought about not guiding your altar very well, the pulpit.
Sure.
So I have one question. There is one of my friend, almost my age mates, I allowed him, he's a denominational person, and I want him to hear the message. But he always prophesy in his church. Then there was a crusade I organized, I titled, Who is Jesus? Going around the community. Then he came to that place. But his interest is that...
Are you among those boys that came one time?
Yes, I am there.
And your face was looking familiar, so that's why I'm confused. You are the one that they chase inside bush.
Yes, sir.
That sleep for inside bush.
Yes, sir.
And found your way to
yes, sir.
Church. Clap your hands for Jesus now. I didn't know you were around. You know, I would love to see you. Certainly, I would love to see you.
Thank you, sir.
I know you need some items, right?
Yes, sir.
You need some items.
Yes.
Television.
Yes.
What again?
Because television, less, we want to be seeing what is
decoder.
Happening. And decoder, yeah.
And something like that. You ask PA system also. I know somebody came. Is it Onyemere? Onyemere said you told him you needed some of these things and
yes,
he didn't follow it up. I think we're thinking of how we will send it to you. Okay, thank God you are here. You will go with them.
Amen.
You'll go with them. Yes.
So
I know the face looking familiar. That's why I was confused. If you listen to their testimony, it's very interesting.
Thank you, sir.
But they have left you now.
They have left us, but everybody's just looking at us as if just leave them. There is nothing good will come out from them.
Yes, but so they allow you to fellowship.
They allow us to fellowship.
God bless you.
So I called the boy, and he thought I was, because he went to Bible school. Then looking at me, he think there is nothing I have to offer. So he came to that program, and he was expecting after my preaching, I should give him chance to prophesy. But I don't want anybody that is not in the message to come up to that pulpit. So I just said, okay, let me allow him. He prophesied. He came after the message. He prophesied. Then he came late. He did not hear anything I say in that first day I preached. So that gave him chance to come the second day. Then after I preached, Who is Jesus? After those messages, what about baptism? Then he was shocked. Then I allow him again. I call on him. Though I want to ask if it is good, because I use that technique to get him in this message.
No. That is, you are trying to catch him now. You are trying to catch him. The pulpit is still with you. If he does anything wrong, you will correct it. You are still there. So you'll be watching him. You want him to. But what I'm saying, why do you have to wait till you invite him to come? Such a person, you visit him and open scriptures and show him.
No, I didn't invite him. He's my friend. He just come to that program.
No, yeah, when he comes like that, yeah. you know, after the service, you meet him and present what you believe. Yes. Okay. Before you...
Glory to God, he accepted the message after the program. He said that he did. Something.
Did he? He accepted the message.
He said this type of teaching is different from what he had in his...
That is why it's not there. Immediately after, you sit him down, visit him, and, you know, share the scriptures with him.
Okay.
And then you can come together. Amen. Another one?
This my brother asked, if somebody who is not yet baptized, because there was a man the last day we finished the priest was 27 days sanctification of the spirit and burial of the truth, who is Jesus. So the last day, there was a man that came, though he came to know what is happening because his wife is against our ministry in that area. So he wants to know what is happening. Then he came the first day, he had something that made him come the second day. So the second day was Friday, we are having communion and feet washing. So the man got interested and he's not interested in whatever his wife is saying anymore. So he said he will come to that feet washing and join us in communion, but he will come late because it was around 5. So the man came and he said he must join. We told him you are not yet baptized because there's no chance for him to baptize that night. So he said that anything he would like
but
to
what come. What is the question?
So the question is, he followed us, he did the feet washing and communion, but on Saturday, I was coming up to this conference, my brothers baptized him. I was asking, is it right?
Nothing wrong. He was willing to be baptized. Okay. Nothing wrong.
Okay, that is
nothing wrong. That's a big fish.
Thank you, sir.
You know, talking about this friendship thing, when this ministry started, we were just about a year or so. Within that period, remember I said I was looking for fruit of the womb. Some of you know Chima Okereke. Global success. He was very anointed. Very, very highly anointed. A friend who located called me and said, boy, come and see this man. He like T.B. Joshua. So we went somewhere in Lagos there. We went together with my wife. He was doing something. Bring you out to the altar for prayer. A lot of manifestations were taking place. It was those who were lined up for prayers. I think my friend knew him and told him, that he brought somebody for prayers. So it reached my own tongue. I said, wait, when you do hand, the person will fall. Next, when it reached my own, he do and not fall. I was saying, oh God, let me fall now. Oh God, what did I do? While I was waiting, I heard it clearly. He said, the grace he has, you have it. So I opened my eyes, looked at him, and I smiled. The man looked at me. He said, are you a pastor? I said, yes. He said, please see me after. I know for. Anyway, I saw him. I don't know what happened. He got interested in me and said, God said he should come to my ministry church. We were in a 3-bedroom flat. I went and picked him and he came. And there were so many things I observed with him. Of course, remember I'm in the message. Very anointed, but we're talking about this same integrity thing. Was too proud. And I hate pride. And it kept, there were manifestations. The man, there was something my wife, I was battling with my wife. And she was sick. When I prayed to go to front and come back, somewhere in the stomach, somewhere. And he followed me to my house. He said, the Lord said you should come to my house. Consecrated my house. And then turned to my wife. And did his hand. And my wife says something left from that day till today. The thing left. Very anointed. Now I was there one day. Then the man came on his own. I was preaching. I saw him, he entered and sat at the back. Really, I saw him. I changed my sermon topic. I said, this man, not say, me and he will be one. Tear the thing down. All the things I was observing in something, I built it into the message I twisted. That's what I'm saying. And that was the last time he came to the church. But we are seeing somehow. And it was in our dedication of the building. He won't give us about how much? 200,000 or 300,000 naira offering. But I'm just trying to say, I will not use the pulpit for friendship, because the next thing he was going to ask is for him to come there for a program. And I won't allow it. You see, praise the Lord. So don't use your pulpit for friendship. That's what I'm saying. Any other question?
All right. Praise the Lord, church.
Yes.
Good evening, Dad.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much for this opportunity, sir. You know, with whom you assemble, you resemble. And
so who do you assemble with?
It's a blessing to associate with you,
and
sir.
You look like
thank
who?
Thank you very much, sir.
You look like Jayola.
Jesus. All right, sir. Okay. Daddy, I've been meaning to ask you this, sir. What's your take on discipleship?
On?
Discipleship.
Which scripture is that?
The Great Commission.
Which scripture?
Going into the world.
Quote it now.
Matthew 28:27.
Who said it?
Matthew 28, Jesus. Make told disciple who? Of all men. Go into all the world. Go into the world. Make and disciple of all men.
Make disciple for who?
For all of all men.
Make disciple.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Can we read it? Can we read it?
Matthew 28. Start from verse 17.
Okay, Matthew 28 verse 17.
Yes, Dad.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Yes.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I don't know where they put disciple there.
No, go on, sir.
Eh?
Go on, sir.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20.
Yes.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I didn't see where it says to go and make disciples.
I think.
Where? Okay.
No.
NIV.
Even in the book of Mark.
Mark 16.
Yes,
okay,
16.
Let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16 verse 15.
Okay, another translation in that, but that Mark 16.
Mark 16 verse 15.
14, 15.
He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I didn't see discipleship there. Let's hear him. So I don't know what you mean. That is what I'm saying.
All right. Dad, in that scripture.
Which one?
The scripture we just read now.
Read two scriptures.
Yes, I know. The Matthew chapter number 28.
Okay.
I understand. Even, I'm not just very stable to start reconciling the scriptures, but I am very sure of Jesus talking about discipleship. Even in other translations.
The Great Commission is for us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And what is the gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. What else? Which other discipleship again? I've had that terminology, so I'm having an opportunity to understand it.
Because, Daddy, why I'm saying this is that I've come in contact with some persons, and they would want to know, what is the plan for discipleship?
That is what I'm saying. They are asking on scriptural questions. So how will I answer it? Whether it is New International Version or any version, Christ, he said we should preach to all nations. And the making of any disciple is not for you, it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why he has given the fivefold ministry. That is it, to do the work of the ministry. He said, let's read it, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12.
Okay.
The purpose of the fivefold ministry, number one, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, this is where I'm going. For the work of the ministry. Which ministry? It's the ministry of reconciliation. Go and preach. And because he said for the perfecting of the saints, listen, verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, for the perfecting of the saints is the teaching ministry. For the work of the ministry, ministry of reconciliation, is for the evangelists. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that is where you see the prophetic office. And that is what the... So when you say to make discipleship, it's a big theological terminology.
Okay, sir.
And people even build ministries around it. And have none of it, and no such ministries. My ministry is into discipleship. I mean, look, what is discipleship?
Okay.
Everybody want to create one idea or the other.
No. Thank you, sir. Secondly, sir.
Yes.
Another take, sir, on mentorship, ministerial mentorship.
Yes.
You know, we're breathing young ministers and we're coming up by God's grace. I want to also understand your take on mentorship. As a minister being guided properly in administration, in all of this, of course,
sure, you've
done it already, but then
that is why you have a church and a pastor is there. It is part of the pastor to bring up other ministers that are coming up. That is the mentorship. Your pastor mentors you. That's what I've spoken earlier. Recognize the gifts, harness the gifts, and then help them to grow. That is the mentorship. Any other question?
Yes, sir. Mission. Your take on mission.
Mission.
Yes, sir. Because most of us are coming up and then...
Sorry, which scripture is that?
I'm just asking what I'm led to, sir. That mission, we're talking about...
So we are ministers here and we have come for the unity of faith so that we can see eye to eye. So when you want to ask questions... Don't be surprised why I'm always bringing you back to Bible. I want us to be scriptural in what we are doing, especially when it comes to ministry work. That is why when you say, I would say, which scripture is that? Which one be mission again?
I've listened to you talk about the sending ministry.
Eh?
I've listened to you talk about the sending ministry.
The sending ministry.
Ministry, yes. That,
yeah, then, we have, that is those who sponsor evangelists.
Yes. And then, but then, the aspect I'm looking at it from, is this act because of people that some of the ministers having the bone and the desire to launch out and win?
You must belong to a church, and the church you belong will be the one that will be sponsoring you.
Actually, in this context, that I'm not talking about the sponsorship. From I'm not coming from the aspect of the sponsorship. I'm talking about I'm talking in the point of mission, as in. People, ministers of the gospel, trying to launch out to go get souls. They might not be sponsored, but then
that must be evangelist. That must be an evangelist, isn't it?
Yes.
An evangelist wants to go out into his evangelical activity.
Yes, field.
Every church should have an evangelical aspect of that church. The church is fed by the activities of the evangelists. Therefore, they will sponsor them. In Brother Assembly, we have a very formidable evangelical team. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have the head, for instance, is Evangelist Chinedu, ordained into the office. Chinedu, you know, you are supposed to speak, but we discover there's no need. What do you want to tell? How to go out? I've already told them how to catch fish. So they organize evangelical activities. How do you organize it in Brother Assembly?
Praise the Lord. We launch out every Monday. Every Monday, we go to the field. Every Monday we go to the field in different parts of Lagos State, precisely neighborhood.
Go on, where are you going? You want to come and collect the pulpit?
Amen. We go to different parts of the markets. Go there, we catch fishes. We minister to them, and God uses us to bring them to the church. And each outing we go, the next day, the people comes to the church.
Always.
Sometimes 17. From 8, 10, 15, we attend to them, some of them baptized. So we are moving out every Monday. That is our duty and our calling as an evangelist.
And God bless you. We have a department in the church that decided to pick up that. They are already planning to buy vehicles for them because they say they want to go further.
That is sponsors.
They are planning to buy bus, I was told. They are planning to buy evangelical vehicles for you people, to buy equipment for you people. They are gathering money for it. So that is the evangelist. Every pastor, if you have an evangelist, of course, every ministry begins with evangelical ministry. Can you permit me to say something? Some time ago, I was in Italy and I was preaching. And during question and answer, they were just sitting in front like this, three girls, wore their jeans, trousers, and all those things they put on, particularly that trouser thing. And he said, can you show me in the Bible where women should not wear trousers? And I told her, I said, if I show you, will you stop wearing it? She said, yes, and if it's in the Bible now, we'll do that. Then I told her to open some scriptures. And when they said, the three of them, I said, you're seeing this scripture for the first time? He said, yes. I said, now that you've seen it, will you stop wearing trousers? He said, of course, it's in the Bible. And that is when I knew that if the people will be told the truth, they will comply. Our brother has repaired his hair. No, just stand up, sir. Just wave, let them see. Put your hands again now for Jesus. If the people are told the truth, they will obey. You cannot go beyond the level of your revelation. Nobody, no sincere Christian wants to disobey the Bible. Brother, God bless you. Hallelujah. In fact, I'll meet my brother. Anything you ask me to do for you that I can do, I will do it before you go back. Anything you ask me to do that I'm capable of, I'm speaking grammar. Anything you ask me to do for you that I am able to, I will do it to show my appreciation and to encourage you. Praise the Lord. Please don't ask me to give you a car because me sir, they find car. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. As victory is ours, we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded and we have responded to our God. Who's the original life?
Hallelujah.
The original life.
Hallelujah.
The original seed.
Oh, yes.
The original one is what I believe.
the Son of Man is revealed. The seven sea will be unveiled. The original light.
We are called unto adoption.
We are called unto adoption.
Full authority and power.
Speak the saints will wake and join us. For translation in this hour. Gentile day soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God. With the original life, hallelujah.
The original life.
The original seed. The original word. Is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seven sea will be unveiled. The original land.
Oh, yes.
The original sea.
There is a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. And we only reach the shore by faith's decree. One by one, we gain the portals, there to dwell with the immortal. When the ring, the golden bells for you and me.
Don't you hear
the bells are ringing?
Don't you hear the angels singing?
It's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. It's a jubilee.
In the far and sweet forever. Just beyond the shining river, where the ring, the golden bells for you.
Say, don't you hear, don't you hear, don't you hear,
don't you hear the bells are ringing, don't you hear the angels singing, it's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. In the far and sweet forever, just beyond the shining river. When the golden bells.
Turn to your neighbor. Come to the Savior.
Make no delay. Here in this world, He has shown us the way. Here in our midst, He is standing today.
Oh,
tenderly say.
Joyful
with the meeting be. When from sin our hearts are pure and free. And we shall gather
Savior
with thee.
Oh,
in our dance.
Joyful
with the meeting be. When from sin our hearts are pure and free. And we shall gather
Savior
in our eternal home.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. With a few ministry remaining, since a deacon said the food is not yet ready. Who is the other person I want to ask? Give him microphone, please. Question and answer enable us to cover so many areas. We are learning. Yes.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, too.
All protocols observed.
Thank you.
My name is Pastor Joseph John Sinofolu from Ubokodo, near Warri.
Amen.
My question is on gift. I observe a gift in the church. Anytime the anointing of the Holy Spirit is coming, and maybe the anointing is on somebody, there's a particular gift that I used to see and suspect, because the moment the genuine gifts, you know, start coming up, that one will also come up. And what it does is, you know, maybe you'll be jumping, hitting people, pushing people. I say, no, this cannot be the Holy Ghost. So I will, You know? Calm down, calm down. Sit down, sit down. So the other ministers will say, ah, why are you, you know, interrupting God? I say, can you call this God? God is not an author of confusion. I say, what I see is that gift doesn't want the genuine gift to be manifested. So this thing happened, I keep correcting like that. I'm bringing it up so that you can help me.
The truth is this.
God bless you, sir.
Yeah, God bless you too. Listen, if that happened in Bride Assembly, I will call the person that does that later. In fact, the first day you do it. Why? What is wrong with you? I would teach the person to note one thing, that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I could tolerate it. Maybe you are just beginning to operate the gift, so you may not be able to know how to control yourself. But after some time, it will stop. Now, let me tell you something. This is how you will identify. This is one of the ways to identify whether an anointing that is on is a demon or is the Holy Ghost. You, the pastor in particular, there's an authority you have when any manifestation is going on. You have, everybody are struggling to hold you. Receive peace in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't receive peace and you get more violent, we will enter deliverance. I will signal deliverance, take this one out and do deliverance outside. It's a genuine spirit of God, immediately in Jesus' name, receive peace. So, it's very easy. Bundle the person out. When it want to come again, you remember, I said, go so bundle me, go control yourself. God bless you, sir. Any question again?
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
Pastor, good evening, sir.
You people are always forgetting people at the back. Why?
My name is Brother Chidi from Abakaliki, Ebonyi State. I have two questions to ask, sir. One is, can there be a situation in a church where a man that is not yet married be ordained to be a pastor?
Timothy was not married. Paul was not married. The only say you must be husband of one wife. That means if you have more than one wife, you are not qualified to be a pastor. Simple. It didn't say you must be married. But if you are married, I thought it must be one wife. God bless you.
Number two, sir. Number two is where we read, but we didn't get to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. It talks about that, about a novice. Somebody that is a novice, that it was Apostle Paul was talking to his son in the Lord, Brother Timothy,
yes.
Say that you should not commit the ministry to a novice.
Yes.
Because when he grow up, he will be puffed up. So I want to ask here, how do we know somebody that is a novice? Because these days people are eager to open a church to be a pastor. And immediately they came, they said they are pastor, and we begin to follow them. How do we know who is a novice that will not ordain
that,
him?
That instruction is not for the people that are looking for church to join. It is, the instruction is for he that will ordain you.
Yes, that's what I mean, sir.
So the person is supposed to have rated you enough to know that you can now, for the office that you have to be ordained into, that you know what it entails. So the person is supposed to know. How will you know, in case maybe you are planning to ordain somebody? That's why you want to know. How will you know whether it's a novice or not? You should have worked with you for some time. You should have heard about him, you should have known what he's doing, or you should have seen a grace of God upon him. And something in you gives you witness that he's qualified for such ordination. And I want you to note that he is to go to already existing churches. Those churches are already existing. That instruction to Timothy. Churches that Apostle Paul had established. So he was to go there, then set those churches in order. So when you get there, of course, you want to find out, when did you believe? There will be indices you will use to know whether somebody is a novice or not in the things of God. For the office you want to ordain the person to. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Totally, sir. I want to ask, because we saw this thing, we as a ministers, sometimes people will gather and they say we are gathering for prayer meeting. Then they start by speaking in tongue. Everybody in that setting will begin to speak in tongue. Some will be walking around with their phone, pressing phone, speaking in tongue, going around.
In this program?
After some times.
In this program?
No, we see it outside, sir. Then after some times, they will shout amen. Then they will give another prayer point. Then they began the same thing. Speak in tongue, maybe after speaking that in tongue, they will stop and give another prayer point. And nobody will say anything except speaking in tongue. Then after some minutes, prayer meeting for the day is over. So I want to ask, sir, anytime we see people doing like that, what do we call them? Is that a prayer or is that gathering? I don't understand, sir.
Anyway, there's a message that I preach entitled How to Pray. I titled it How to Pray. And I said, you have to know the meaning of prayer before you will know how to pray. What is the meaning of prayer? Prayer is to go to a higher power to intervene on your behalf on a matter. So if you go before a higher power, it's expected that you will pray and tell that higher power exactly what your problem is. For if you ask me to do anything, I will do it. Now you want to go and ask him to do something, and then you hear him, okay, wait now. You know you are not praying. It's part of the errors among the Pentecostals. In Jesus' name, amen. That Satan is wicked. Where are you coming from? From prayer meeting. What was the prayer you prayed? My. So you teach them. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for them and see how that gift is supposed to be operated and teach them. Tell them, you know you are not praying. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
Finally, you, sir. If you have to join them when they call the prayer point, you pray your own prayer. Did they say everybody must speak it up? You pray your own and leave them. After then, with love, you know, correct them. Yes.
God bless you, sir. Finally, sir. Pastor, in a situation where a church come up and we are 90% of the members of the church are online members. Then a pastor came up, let me say, from nowhere. So he said he's a pastor in the message. Then some of the members or some of us begin to follow him as somebody that said they have called a message. So along the line, he began to deviate from the message, began to bring things that some people don't understand.
Causing, so what's your question?
My question is causing division or bringing in another thing. And some people decide to go back to online. And it became a problem. Very big problem. Began to scatter the church for many years now. So
why are you worried about it? You are the people that invited him to come and pastor you now.
No, we are not the one.
He came on his own.
He came on his own, sir.
And say he is in the message.
Yes, sir.
And he will be your pastor. And you are not his convert.
Pastor, he is even giving prophecy from here.
From
that,
where?
From here, that he is a pastor.
From Bride Assembly.
Yes, sir.
Giving prophecy from Bride Assembly.
Yes, sir.
But you have my phone number. You are supposed to call us and say somebody came and say he's in the message. He wants to pastor us. You are my convert, not his convert. You are supposed to test our spirit. Amen. It has happened in several places. Even the church in Paris, France. The young man was in MFM. And this church in Paris, France, there are more girls, I mean women, and there are quite many, but all online women. Their husbands say, no, God, no call them, no go pastor. So when they sit down, they watch Bride Assembly. They gather, but they needed a pastor. In fact, they are the ones I was telling the ministers. They told me I should send them a pastor, that they will get the visa, they will get the house, they will take care of him, everything, they will get his documents, let him come and pastor them. They want to come together. You are here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so when after some time they say, oh, they got one man, I was speaking with him, oh, it's MFM, and blah, 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 blah. Well, these people are well-grounded. So anytime he stands up and he's preaching something like that in the church, a sister will stand up, excuse me, and counter and say, no, that is not the meaning of that. That's not the meaning. So, well, he was there when I visited Paris the last time I visited, I think before the corona, 2019 or so. And then he was there, counseled him. I remember in my hotel room, I was telling him that you have been listening to me say, he was complaining about the sister. I said, that is how all my converts are. Give them the word or not. I said, these people are schooled. It's not because they are women. If not, they would have pastored this place. They know their scriptures. Some of you know. Okay, sorry, our members. Sister Loretta. Okay, she's the one. And they tear this Bible down for you. So eventually, the guy resigned by himself. Oh yeah, I'm going to do nothing. It's not easy to keep them.
Pastor, what I'm saying this is that
you are supposed to have asked him to leave. That's what you are supposed to do. Since he's not the one that gathered you, let him go and start his own somewhere. And anybody here who wants to follow you can go. But we will stay here until God gives us a pastor. Simple. I'm sure he came and was asking for tithe. Isn't it?
Sir?
He was asking for tithe.
No, tithe was not the problem. But the problem is that
you are collecting tithe and giving him.
You don't want to hear about Bride Assembly in that church.
No.
You don't mention Bride Assembly.
You don't need to mention Bride Assembly.
I know what I'm saying, sir.
Do you preach Bride Assembly? No, preach the Bible.
Not preaching. Pastor, it's a long story, sir.
Okay. God bless you. Anyway, he didn't. You are not his convert, so as he come, you can send him back.
Praise the Lord.
That's all, yes.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
My name is Pastor Adedayo Samson from Ilorin, Kwara State.
You're welcome, sir.
My question is a little bit similar to what he just asked now. There has been something that has been troubling me, and I've been pondering over it so many times. I got to know this when I got to Ilorin. On this speaking of tongue of a thing, when I got to Ilorin, I for the first time in my life, when we're in the program, minister's program like this, I just asked, can we roll our tongue for 5 minutes? And everybody began to be speaking, they were just saying manner of things. And sometimes, the people that doesn't speak in tongues, when you get to, when you are close to those that are speaking tongue, they look at you as if you are nobody. Because you are not speaking in tongue. They believe that you don't have Holy Spirit. Now, sir, this is my question. Because I discovered this, sometimes when we are praying, we say, okay, let us appreciate God. I noticed a particular pastor. The same tongue that he spoke when we were praising God is still the same thing that he will say when we say, let us cast out demon or less every other prayer point. And I began to be asking myself, ah, if you even you are even praying in English language, then what you'll be saying will be different according to the prayer points.
So what's the question?
So my question now is, sir, I want you to make a little bit clarification on that. And
what?
I still heard on that speaking in tongue that they will be saying the same thing on the same prayer point.
But did I hear you well? You were leading a prayer, you say, and let's roll in tongue for some
no,
time.
No, I said I had that one. I just said that one. What I want you to clear on it is...
I want you to clear me this one first. Did I hear you say in that meeting that day, you said, let us roll in tongue for some time?
I wasn't the one that said it. They said...
Oh, you heard them say it.
They said it. I said that was for the first time in my life.
You were
life.
Hearing something like that.
I heard it.
Okay.
So, and I was in a prayer gathering together with some ministers of God there.
It is a Pentecostal doctrine. It's a Pentecostal doctrine. It's one of the false doctrines they carry about. Let us roll in tongue.
Amen. Yes, sir. Then
it's
a gross error.
Yes.
I heard this one again that they said in maybe in theology school or something, they were learning how to speak in tongue again. Is it by Blake, sir?
I'm now telling you now. You are supposed to speak in tongue as the Holy Ghost gives you utterance. It is a supernatural manifestation. It is not a gift you can will. You don't will it. You cannot say, let me speak in tongue for some time. I'm coming. Since morning, I never speak in tongue. Building up your most holy faith. Praying in the spirit. Building up. It's wrong. But there is a gift of speaking in tongue, genuine. When it hits the person, you will know this is the Holy Ghost. And there are tongues are spoken on different occasions. One of it is for worshiping God. That is you worshiping God in the spirit. And the other one is message, giving a message. And that's why there will be another gift of interpretation. But hardly you see that gift of interpretation working these days because to start with, even the tongues, are they genuine? But when this church started, we had that gift. The first time a sister came to me, so when this church started, the fire was so much. Oh my. We used to come to church 9 a.m. By the time we want to share the grace, sometimes it's 8 p.m. And nobody will know time had gone. It's as if you're in another room. Hey! It's 8 p.m. Yeah. And even with that, people don't want to go. It was an atmosphere. We worship God, finish, you see somebody here speaking tongues. At the back, somebody is giving the interpretation. As he said, and tongues said the Lord. And as he stopped, and they pick him again, you see two people communicating. It was very glorious to listen. That period, you can't commit sin and come among us. As you enter, somebody will fall under anointing. Thus said the Lord to Boboy. Amen. I was standing at the altar and a woman was coming to give offering. Her hand, the angel was rejecting the offering. was rejecting the offering. Made sure she did not reach the altar. After the service, I asked her, I don't know, why did God reject your offering? She started crying. She abused and insulted her husband before she came to church. So she could not, the Lord could not even accept the offering. Was it my boy that was reminding me? Yesterday or so. How you are sick. You are reminding me because you were there with us. You enter the church, the sickness will disappear without anybody praying for you.